Praise the Lord, Bridgeway Community Church. Give God the glory today. I'm so good to see you. Wherever you are today, whether you're in the house, it's so good to see you. Whether you're at Owens Mills, Reisterstown campus, thank you for being here today. And of course, online, we're so glad to see you all over the world. Feel free to chat with us as the message goes forth. Today, I begin a brand new series called A Better Start. And today's topic is goodbye to yesterday. Next week, hello to new mercies, followed by I'm just getting started. So that's the next 3 weeks, and then we'll have our State of the Church address, and then right into our winter guest speaker series. So the next several weeks are going to be a real blessing. Now, before I open in prayer, because I do want to pray and thank God for last week. How many of you were here last week and you gave your first fruits offering to the Lord? Thank you so much for doing that. And for those of you online, thank you so much for doing that. I'm absolutely humbled and amazed that so many of you gave. In fact, nearly 900 people, giving units, families, gave. So praise God for that. And on top of that, are you ready for the amount of money that came in because you gave in faith? Over $500,000 because you gave in faith. $543,000. And the lowest amount, you want to know what the lowest amount was? It's so exciting to me. $1.50. $1.50. And so we still have to the end of the month if you want to get in on what God is up to. We'll pray about how God wants us to steward his money. But one thing we as elders and clergy and spiritual leaders of Bridgeway Community Church are committed to, and that is we're immediately, as God leads us, going to give a tithe in some way, shape, or form on that money to our community, our culture, and our world for Jesus Christ. So that much we know. How could we not tithe on what God has brought in? And what I want to do is I just want to be like the leper. You remember the 10 lepers were healed, but one came back and said, thank you to Jesus. Well, what I'm going to ask you to do with me at Owens Mills, online, in this house in Columbia, is to bow with me. And as I pray for the message, will you just take 20 seconds and just begin to thank God for this offering, like that leper who goes back. Really thank God for what he has done. And then I'll pray for the sermon. So let's go into prayer right now. Even if you want to chat your prayer right there at Owens Mills or here, let's talk to God. Thank you, Lord. God, for everyone that gave in faith, from the $1.50 to more, people gave because they actually believed that if they would prioritize you, it would be a signal to you of our faith, and that you would do abundantly, exceedingly, more than we could ever ask or imagine. And the testimonies I'm already getting of people who are receiving checks in the mail and diagnosis of disease that they were supposed to have but was turned around. As I think about what you are already doing, Lord, may the testimonies continue to come in so that you would get the glory and we would get the blessing. For it is in the name of Jesus we pray. Together everyone said, amen and amen. Have I told all y'all about a gal I dated by the name of Jan? I was always happy to see her. I dated her every year for dozens of years. And when Jan and I would get together, we'd always have a good time of reflection. We'd catch up on how things have been since the last talk we had, maybe about a year ago. And our relationship is sort of on a cycle. It lasts only about 31 days. And I don't mean to confuse you. When I say we dated, I should clarify. Jan is all about the dates. 31 of them. Jan could be pretty chilly sometimes, although these days she's quite warm. I'll take it when I can get it. The problem in my relationship with Jan is that I tend to forget about her and all the promises I made to her during our time together. In fact, by the time I get to April, I've forgotten all about Jan. I told you all about April, didn't I? Oh, she's weepy. Her teardrops are like raindrops that keep falling on my head. That's why I'm happy to see May when she comes around. You know what? I'm done with Jan's cold shoulder and April's teary showers. Whenever May springs up, I begin to feel like things are truly blossoming. I begin to feel a little guilty about everything Jan and I talked about 5 months ago, but that was then, and this is now. And here's the reality, Jan's just too cold for me. But June, oh, she's hot. As you have undoubtedly figured out, Jan is a month, January, not a girl. And many of you have seen and experienced dozens of Januaries in your life, some more than others. But here's my question. Why do we keep forgetting the commitments we make in January? Why do we break up with January by the time we get to April, May, and June? And by September, January is so far gone from our memories that all we have left is body, say, do you remember body, dancing in September, body, never was a cloudy day. Do you remember, come on, the 21st night of, there you go, okay, we better stop right there. I don't want to take y'all back too far. What a church bridgeway is. January, the month, not the gal, comes around every 12 months and gives us an opportunity to start a new year. The beginning of the calendar year gives us an opportunity to make new commitments, to exercise more, to eat better, to begin new habits of reading or writing or church attendance or building new relationships or budgeting for financial priorities. And for many of us, it's a time to renew our minds and our hearts spiritually. Maybe a new scripture reading plan or a commitment to be more involved in a life group and to grow spiritually. Maybe we want to pray more. I mean, the list can go on and on and on. But instead of recycling the same dating pattern with the New Year's resolutions that are over by April, May, and June, what if I told you that you could say goodbye for good to yesterday's failures and yesterday's fears? There is. There's truly a way to say goodbye to yesterday. And for some of you, it's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday. Quick trivia, what old school movie is that song from? Cooley High. For all the old people in the room, they had the answer. For all the young people, they're like, what's that? But from old songs and movies to the Holy Scriptures, which will take us to new beginnings and to a better start, I want to invite you to now go with me to the book of Isaiah in chapter 43. And it says in Isaiah, in chapter 43, verses 18 and 19, to followers of God, the Israelites, who had not been faithful to the Lord in the past, what God wants to say to them is something that would free them so they could say goodbye to yesterday and hello to some new things we'll even talk about next week. So as we pick it up in verse 18 and 19, hear the word of the Lord. God says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. God is saying to his people, I'm doing a new thing. I'm making a way. Can you repeat this after me? God is doing a new thing. You can type it right in there. God is making a way. One more time. God is doing a new thing. God is making a way. Last time, turn to a neighbor and say it. Turn to somebody in the living room and say it. God is doing a new thing. God is making a way. Last week, out of the seven things you will be in 2023 that I declared, one of them was this. You will be witnessing God making a way out of no way. That was number six. And in this passage in Isaiah, God is telling his people, the Israelites, that his mercy and favor is upon them, even though they have not been faithful in the past. They've been unfaithful. They've been selfish. They've been sinful. They've been disobedient. And God says in the following verses, in 22 through 24, this, let me read it. Yet you have not called upon me, O Jacob. You have not wearied yourself for me, O Israel. You have not brought me sheep for burnt offerings, nor honored me with your sacrifices. Verse 24, I have not burdened you with grain offerings, nor wearied you with demands for incense. You have not bought any fragrant calamus for me or lavished on me the fat of your sacrifices, but you have burdened me with your sins and wearied me with your offenses. God is saying, even though you haven't given me anything of worth, even though you've sinned against me regularly, even though you bring me no offerings, I will still extend my favor to you. Because that was yesterday. That was the past. Wow, what a God. God is saying, this is what I need you to do in order to embrace the new you. This is what I need you to do in order to embrace the new you. Verse 18, say goodbye to yesterday. Verse 19, see the new I'm about to do. Say goodbye to yesterday. Well, how do I do that? How do we do it, Lord? As a people, how do we do it? I'll tell you how to do it. First, he says in verse 18a, forget the former things. And he says in 18b, do not dwell on the past. How do I say goodbye to yesterday? Forget the former things. There are a lot of things that you did in 2022. Forget about it. A lot of things that you tried, a lot of things that you failed at, a lot of things that didn't go well. Forget about it. Now, immediately, sometimes what we want to do is think about all the good things that happened and that we did in 2022 and 2021 and the years prior. And yeah, I'm sure there are a lot of good things you did. But that doesn't impress God, I hate to tell you. I mean, I'm glad you had some wins. But when he talks about forgetting the past, he's not necessarily talking about all the good things you did. He's talking about all the bad things you did, all the bad things you thought, all the bad things you engaged in, all the things that you should have done that you didn't do. So we never want to go to God and say, yeah, God, but didn't I do this? And didn't I do that? Aren't you proud of me for not doing this or not doing that? Because by the time you get to verse 26 and 27, at that point, if you're like me, I'd just shut up about anything good that I did. Verse 26. Okay, God says, review the past for me. Let us argue the matter together. State the case for your innocence. Do you really want to do that before the Almighty Judge? Your past is riddled with sinful failures, and so is mine. There's no way to argue your innocence, so don't even try it. And you get to verse 27, he just drops the mic. He says, your first father sinned. Dad, you're talking about my father. Your first father sinned. Your spokesman rebelled against me, In other words, God is saying, how far do you really want to go back? You really just want to go back to 2022? Your sins from last year? How about from 5 years ago? How about from 10 years ago? How about from your college years? Shall we talk about your teenage years? Some of y'all little ratchet kids in elementary school, it was bad. How far do you want to go back? And do you want to talk about your parents' sins? How about your parents' parents' sins? And then what he does, he says, you know what? Let's just go all the way back. Verse 27, your first father, that's Adam. The very first father on the earth, Adam. You want to go all the way back to Adam? We go all the way back to Adam. There's just no defense for human beings who are sinful and depraved. And the little that we do is like filthy rags. So he says, you know what? How about we just forget the past? I'm like, okay, gotcha. I'm with you. Don't have to go to my dad. You don't have to go all the way back to Adam. Got it. But then he says something else. I not only want you to forget about all the bad that you did, I want you to actually stop dwelling on it. Dwelling means to live. And some people live in the past. They live in their past abuse. They live in their past problems. They live in their past upbringing. There's a lot of things that we could actually pitch our tent and just live there because of what we experience. I don't want your identity to be what happened to you in the past. I don't want your identity to be what you did wrong in the past. If I'm going to forget about it, how about you forget about it? And in fact, don't dwell there anymore. You used to live in Shittim, but you don't live there anymore. We crossed the Jordan. And so now it's time to forget the past, stop dwelling on it. And that may be a word for somebody, because you live. You dwell in the past. Your identity has become everything about yesterday. Instead of making your identity based on the precepts and the promises of God, beginning to move yourself toward who he says you are instead of holding on to who you've been saying you are and to what other people have been saying you are. And what your circumstances have been saying you are. And God is saying, forget it and stop dwelling on it. He even says in Psalm 103:10, he does not treat us as our what? As our sins deserve. And in Jeremiah 31:34, he says, he remembers our sins no more. And so for someone who's trying to embrace the new them, for someone who's trying to say goodbye to yesterday, he says, forget it and stop dwelling on it. But here's a second thing that you can do to embrace the new you, and that is this. See the new that I'm about to do. See the new that I'm about to do. Yes, say goodbye to yesterday. But now what I want you to do is see the new that I'm about to do. And in fact, not the new that was done or that will be done, but even he says in the text, God is saying, I am doing a new thing. And in that chapter 43, if you'll back it up to chapter 42 and look at verse 9, you'll see that this is not the first time that God is saying this to his people. He says this, and he used the word see. See, the former things have taken place, and here it is, new things I declare, before they spring into being, I announce them to you. Don't miss this. God is saying, yeah, see the former things that have taken place, and the new things that I declare. So if I declare it, that means it's coming into pass. And then he says in this same verse, before they spring into being, I announce them to you. See, this is a prophetic verse. It's saying new things may seem like they are just springing up, but I actually announce them to you ahead of time. It may seem like they're just springing up, but I've announced them to you ahead of time. And if you would listen to my prophetic words, you would see that I'm a prophetic God. I announce my workings before I do them. I announce my comings. I announce my declarations. And Bridgeway, God has been announcing to us what we are experiencing today. Don't forget about the 30-hour revival service that we had in October 2021. Don't forget a year ago when we talked about the new wine and the new season that God had called us to as the new Bridgeway. God has been announcing what we're experiencing. God has talked to us in the tent about the fivefold ministry and how God calls these offices for us to be able to equip the saints and to perfect the believers. And I have all the declarations from our 30-year revival. I keep it in my portfolio. Every time I preach, I have it right here in my preaching portfolio. And just to name a few, Anthony Patton, one of our preachers, said, "Fire. Nothing gets exposed to fire and stays the same as before." Jocelyn Whitfield, "God is doing a new thing at Bridgeway. He is raising Bridgeway to the next level. There is nothing that David, speaking of me, can do to stop it. You may as well get on board and let it happen." Pastor Sandy Pope said, "Before creation, before the earth was formed, God knew everything that would happen, and he knew that we would be here." And one more, Pastor Dave Heiliger talked about a place in the scripture called Tanath Sarah, which means portion of abundance. And he said, portion of abundance. It's a rhema word that God was giving us. And Shanava, this prophetic woman, said this: "God has spoken portion of abundance from Pastor David earlier, and I declare and I decree that the Lord is giving Bridgeway the portion of abundance that we have been praying for. I declare and I decree that the portion of abundance that God is giving to Bridgeway is our very own ministry year, Ephesians 4 and 11. He's given us some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. I proclaim the workings of the Holy Spirit in the new Bridgeway, and I proclaim that new things and greater works that the Holy Spirit shall do will happen at Bridgeway. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. It has always been about his plan, his purpose, and his power for his church." And so when I think about what God is doing, it's not in a vacuum. And when I think about what he's going to do in your life, it's not in a vacuum. God always announces ahead of time before he does it. He may have spoken it to your grandmother or your great-grandfather, but God speaks ahead of time. Even when the baby Jesus was coming, it was announced 800 years before. And even while Mary was pregnant, an angel showed up to Joseph to let Joseph know that this baby is coming. He showed up to the shepherds. He showed up. God is always announcing before he does it. God announced the flood before it rained through Noah. God announced the word of warning to Nineveh before even sending that word of repentance through Jonah. God announced his son, the Messiah, who would come and save the world. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, Jesus Christ, was and is an announcement of the good news. God is saying to you now, "I am doing a new thing." But then he asked his people one question in verse 19. "Do you not perceive it? Do you not perceive it?" If you hear the preacher say God's doing a new thing, that's just words. The question is, do you perceive it? To say amen is one thing, but to actually perceive what God has been trying to say to you, this is the revelation. When God reveals something and when you begin to see something springing up, you say, oh my, what's springing up is what God had been speaking. It's the promise he had been saying, and all he wants to know now is, do you perceive it? And he said, in the verse that we read, see, I am doing a new thing. And now he says, do you perceive it? See, perceive. In other words, in order to see something, you have to perceive it. In order to see something, you have to perceive something. Perception is something you pick up. It's something you catch. Perception is not something that you see with your physical eyes, not first, but with your instincts, with your impressions, with your intuition. To spiritually perceive something is to see it in the spiritual realm. Before it ever manifests itself in the natural realm. If you get to the natural realm and you see something but you did not perceive it, it springs up on you like a great surprise. But for those who are spiritually discerning, it had already been perceived before it had ever come to pass. This is why the prophetic announcement is so important. You hear it first. Then you perceive it, then you see it. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing the word of God. And how can they hear without a preacher? Romans 10 says this in verses 13 through 17. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Understand this on a spiritual level, friends. You hear it first. You don't see it first. This is why we walk by faith and not by sight. Because in the spirit realm, hearing comes before seeing. Just like babies. Babies hear you before they ever see you. Babies in the womb recognize and hear the voice of mom and dad and other sounds around them before they ever open their eyes. Babies in the womb, before they can see outside the womb, they can hear inside the womb. And they hear words and pick up language. Listen, they pick up language before they can ever read or write. You start talking to babies, and babies can say mama and daddy, and they can begin communicating with you, and they can begin speaking a language before they can ever read it or write it, because they get language from hearing. And we get connection to God through hearing with spiritual ears. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. This is why some people cannot connect with God because they can't hear God in their spirit. God is trying to take us to another level where we can hear him in the spirit realm before we can see what is revealed in the natural. But carnal Christianity is always asking God to do something in the natural first before we believe it. And every time we hear the word of God, we become skeptical. And our faith is arrested because we don't want to press in to hear the word of God. Like a baby, you hear spiritually before you see. And let me just say a word to those in the deaf community. You know, hearing is not just a physical sense of hearing. It's a spiritual sense of hearing. For those of you who are deaf, when you hear God in your spirit, you may have a greater sense of connection than those of us who are distracted with physical hearing. So God is talking about hearing in your spirit, not just with your physical ears. So then you may ask, how can I embrace the new me, the new year, the new season? How can I say goodbye to yesterday and hello to tomorrow's new mercies, which I'll talk about next week? Well, friends, I want to encourage you to open yourself up this year. Open yourself up to the word of God in a new way this year. Perceive it. Like a woman, she must open herself up to receive before she can ever conceive. And if you ever want to conceive, you've got to be willing to open yourself up to receive. And the reality is, some of us are closed spiritually. We want religion. We don't want a relationship. We want to live together. We don't really want intimacy. What I'm encouraging you to think about is taking it to another level where I encourage you now to open up yourself. Open up your heart. Open up your mind. Open up your spirit to receive the word of God and the words of God this year so that you can go to another level. To embrace the new you, you must say goodbye to yesterday and see what God is doing today. But once you open yourself up, God begins to start saying, now I'm going to show you something you've never seen before. So here's how I want you to respond. If you are open to saying, okay, I'm ready to open up to you, God, I want you to do four things. First of all, when God speaks, I want you to receive the word. Receive the word. Hear God's announcement. Hear God's pronouncement. Accept the word of God that is spoken by the power of the Holy Spirit in accordance with God's word in the scriptures. And everything that is spoken needs to be connected and built upon the foundation of God's written word in the scriptures. It has to be in line with the living word, Jesus Christhist. But there's something called a rhema word. And a rhema word is a word that's spoken in season at the time, in the midst of life and battle, that comes down from God to the prophet woman of God, the prophet man of God, the person in your small group who God decides to use in that moment, the person at the Starbucks who God decides to use at that moment. God can take a spoken word by the power of the Spirit, match it with the living word, which is God, which is Jesus Christ, and the written word, which is the foundation of the Bible, and speak it in your situation at this time in 2023. Did you know God's word could do that? You see, God's word's not dead. It's not an archaic book. It's living and it's active and it's as sharp as it's ever been. Don't think that the word had gotten dull because culture has changed. The word of God is as sharp as it's ever been, and it becomes more sharp as culture becomes more tough. The sharp knife is what cuts the tough meat. And what happens is, as culture gets tougher against what the word of God says, the word of God is still as sharp as it was when Jesus spoke it, when the prophets under the Holy Spirit wrote it, and when the spirit of God's rhema movement of his word, like precision, moves into the moment, like the men of Issachar who knew what to do in that time. Receive the word. If you open yourself up, the way I want you to respond is four ways. Receive the word. Number two, conceive the word. Accept it into yourself. Take the word and join it with good soil in your heart. and let it germinate and produce faith in you. And as that word rises up in you, the third thing you do is perceive the word. Perceive it. Ask God, God, give me clarity so I can perceive what you're saying. Not with skepticism, God, give me clarity so I have understanding, so I can perceive, Lord, so I can pick up what you're putting down. And then lastly, believe the word. Believe the word. Mean to activate your faith. Walk by faith. Activate your faith by walking in obedience. Place your faith in God and hold on to that word and walk in it as though it's already done. That's what believing in the word is. It's once I have received it, conceived it, perceived it, I believe it. And if I believe it, then I walk in it as if I believe it's actually happening. Ask a pregnant woman before she ever sees her child, because she believes that that child is there, because she feels that that child is there. She may not see it for 9 months, but she's walking in it like she actually believes it's going to happen. She's walking in it. She's painting a room, maybe blue, maybe pink. She's buying diapers. She's getting herself prepared. She's throwing a baby shower, but she's not even seen it yet. But because she's walking by faith and because she's talking by faith, no one else in her community has seen it either. But because she's telling people about it, they're going to come to the baby shower. Because she's telling people about it, they're going to buy her gifts. Because she's telling people about it, they're getting excited about what's going to be birthed. Some of us wait for the birthing, but others of us who truly believe that movement is happening, we begin to walk in our faith before the birth of our blessings. And what God is saying is, if you're going to go to another level, you've got to understand that it's not just about hearing God's word. It's receiving it, conceiving it, perceiving it, believing it. Receiving it is the reception. Conceiving it is the conception. Perceiving it is the perception. And believing it is the activation. Now I will walk by faith. Do not let yesterday's failures of yesterday and yesteryear hold you back from the future blessings that God has in store for you. Bridgeway, God has taken us to another level of faith. And individually, he's taking you to another realm of perception. Do not dwell on the past. Let go of old hurts. Let go of old habits. Let go of old hang-ups. For God's sake, stop dating Ms. January every year. Instead, embrace an entire new season, a new realm, a new dimension. When I talk about what God's going to do and what God is doing, understand, friends, it's not about dates. Dates come and go. It's about dimensions. Dates are linear and they go forward. 1, 2, 3, 30, 31. 1, 2, 3, 30, 31. 1, 2, 3, 28. You know, dates are linear. Dates are forward. Dimensions are upward. What I'm calling you to is not to move forward. I'm calling you to move upward. And in this moment, what I want to do is I want to bow for a short word of prayer for you. I'm going to invite our pastoral resident, Will Eastham, to come up, and I'll turn it over to him. But if you, right there at Owens Mills, in your kitchen, in your car, in front of your computer, in your living room, in your bedroom, in this house, if you'll bow with me right now, God, what I'm asking in this moment is that this word would resonate, because it's not come in a vacuum. You've been announcing what you've been wanting to do and promising to do in our life for a long time. And it started with Jesus, the second Adam. While the first Adam may have messed it up for us, as we have messed it up for ourselves, Lord, you sent Jesus to not only save us, but to take us into our portion of abundance so that we could walk by faith and not by sight. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.